Turn, if you will, in your Bibles tonight to Acts chapter 14. Acts chapter 14. We looked at Paul's life this morning in Acts chapter 14. Tonight, we're going to do it again. Look at one verse, 27. Now, when they had come and gathered the church together, they reported all that God had done with them and that he had opened the door of faith to the Gentiles. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you tonight for your word. Speak to our hearts again tonight. And God, we give you the praise, for it's in Christ's name we ask it. Amen. When they had come together, they gathered the church together and they reported all that God had done with them. Reminds me of when our young people or our children go off to camp. We get together and report the missions about where they'd gone and what's happening. Well, here in this chapter, having preached the gospel to all the regions, Paul and Barnabas returned home to Antioch, from which they had first come and got started these churches, and they had a great deal to tell. Isn't it exciting to hear testimonies about what God's doing? We had Zach this summer, and we enjoy having him and his family and telling us about what they have done overseas. And he says, Daddy, there's so many Christians over there. Actually, there's more Christians there than there are in the United States. And there's more Christians being converted there than communism. But the Communist Party rules. So we thank God for the churches that are alive and well and how we can hear reports from them. I hear reports from churches in the Philippines when the Philippine pastors are here. We hear churches in Haiti when our brothers here from Haiti and different places around the country. Well, that's exactly what Paul and Barnabas was doing. They told how they had gathered together and what God was doing through them. Not what they had done, but what God was doing through them. Now, this month's state mission offerings are Annie Armstrong offerings. You know, it's a great opportunity for us as a church to give and give out to missions. I couldn't help but watch St. Louis and the east part of the city, how they gave that house to youth, how people were being saved. There's places like that. Our young people have been to the inner city in Houston, and they also went up to New York one time, and our men went to New York one time to build houses and things like that. But, you know, I believe the key element in our missionary enterprise is always the local church. The church is the one that supports those kind of things. It's churches that make the missionary movement grow. And we need that from our local churches. The church is the grandest institution ever. It was established by the Lord Himself. And one of these days, God is going to come back and call His church home. There's a picture of the rapture over there. Brother Larry brought in and had it framed and put up there. We talked about the rapture of the church last week, when God's children will be raptured out or caught up to meet the Lord in the air. Now, we're told that they had reported all the things that God had done through them. Now, wonder what they said. That's always been interesting to me. What do you think Paul said? Do you think he might have given a lecture on the conduct of a missionary? I don't know if he did that or not. But look at 27. It says, Paul says, it's not what we have done, but what God has done through us, or through them. You and I really don't do anything, do we? It always has to be God. All we have to do is make ourselves available to God. And when you make yourself available to God, then God will use you. You see, you have to empty yourself out. I believe we are too full of ourselves so many times. We want to say, look what we've done, or look at what we're doing. And when you do that, you know, that is your reward. You ought to give it to God. Look what God is doing in the lives of our church. Our lives are simply a channel in which God can use. Anything that's done for eternal value has to be God using us through accomplishing these things through us. And Paul wrote at a latter time, by the grace of God, I am what I am. It's only by the grace of God. And I gave my testimony to the men in the church today. And Brother David, is he here tonight? David, I thought you were using deacon meeting. I just wondered if you'd left. Now, yeah. Brother David said, I hadn't heard that before. Well, I told him I had never given all. Because if I told you all that God has done over and through our lives, and I couldn't get it in. It would take forever, seemed like. I started back years ago writing papers, a book about my life and everything. And I told Zach, I said, now since you got your doctor's degree, you can write this book and publish it when I'm dead and gone. And he said, well, keep all the papers together. And I have been putting them all together and putting them out there. So if you outlive me and he writes that book, when you get to heaven, you tell me about it. I want to know what he wrote, you see. But Paul says, by the grace of God, I am what I am. And we do as a church only what God allows us to do. And all the glory that we get as a church belongs to him, folks. He's the one that does it all. And I want to suggest to you some things I think that Paul could have very well said to the church. Now, this morning I talked about some things about Felix and Drusilla, but I think Paul might have said something about the Christian life, about his sufferings. Don't you reckon Paul said something about his sufferings? He suffered a lot for the cause of Christ. Look at verse 19. The Jews from Antioch and Iconium came there, and having persuaded the multitudes, they stoned Paul and dragged him out of the city, supposing him to be dead. I believe Paul might have said something about him being stoned. In fact, he says later on, I bear the scars on this body from serving Jesus Christ, but he always had his heavenly eyes upon Jesus Christ. I believe he said something about suffering. I believe that everyone listening to Paul, as he told about his personal experience, heard the word of suffering. You know, Paul could have said, people suffer because it's part of God's plan. Now, folks think that simply because we're Christians, we don't suffer. We don't like to hear that, do we? We do suffer as God's children. All of us will suffer in life. Good things happen to bad people, but also bad things happen to good people. And whatever our missionaries go through, they do suffer a lot for the cause of Christ. I've read several times, and I believe it was over in the Philippines, where years ago they captured a man and his wife, and they killed the husband. And we heard some missionaries were shot to death down in Colombia. And over in the Middle East, his family not long back was shot and executed. We don't hear about all of those things, but they happen. They happen. Paul might have said something, suffering was programmed into the universe by the fall of man. You see, there's thorns and thistles grew because of the fall. There's grief and sorrow in our life because of the fall. There's heartaches and sufferings in our life because of the fall. God's people do suffer, but we've got the idea today that suffering is not a part of our life. We shouldn't suffer. And yet, everyone that lived for God usually suffered for God. In verse 22, Paul says, we must through much tribulation enter into the kingdom of God. That sound like you're going to make it there without any problems? Doesn't to me. Suffering is a part of our lives. And I think about how Paul endured the many other things that he talked about, shipwrecked, beatings, stonings. That's part of Christianity. And somebody says, well, you Christians are nothing but a bunch of sissies having to rely on God. Well, certainly a Christian is not a sissy. A Christian is one that stands up under all of these things. And Paul was willing to be stoned. He was willing to be beaten for the cause of Christ. And I think today in our churches, when we don't even come because it's raining outside, what must Jesus Christ think of our commitment? You see? Listen, Paul knew what it was to suffer for Jesus Christ. Suffering has a way of making us stronger, doesn't it? I believe it does. God wants us to stand up. I always like Psalm. Is it Psalm 1 where he says, we planted like an oak planted by the river, bearing, I can't remember exactly what it says, but listen, I think about a Christian planted like a strong oak, and that suffering and the winds beat against us, the hardships of life come upon us, and yet we stand firm, the Bible says. We're to stand firm for the cause of Christ in the days of suffering. Let me tell you something. It may get bad in the United States before it ever gets better. Secondly, I think he said something about strengthening the converts. If you look at Paul's journey, back and forth, he went back and forth to different cities. What was he doing? Instead of just visiting, he's returning to strengthen the converts. I think Paul wanted to strengthen those people that were saved and make them stronger in their Christian life. And how did they do that? By going back and helping them, by going back and checking on them. Folks, that's what I hope our Sunday school does. I hope we don't just leave people out in the cold, but I hope we can always go back and try to bring those people along with us in our strength. And I believe he said we need to strengthen the converts that we're making, confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith in the last days. It's going to be tough. What we see today is the falling away of our people from the church. And it's because, one, we haven't strengthened them in the faith. We haven't taught them what it means really to be a stand-up Christian for God. And the first time some little trouble comes their way, they get their feelings hurt, they're out of church. And it ought not be that way. As a church, we are to win people to Jesus Christ. That's what we need to do. And the second thing is to strengthen them in that Christian walk. So we need to get them involved, get them to learn Bible studies. I praise God for our Bible studies. I praise God for our, I think the home groups are going now, and some of them report to me that they have 17, 18 there. Praise the Lord for that. Some of these people can't come to Sunday school on Sunday morning. Well, they have a place to go during the week. Listen, as we are growing and as we're seeing new converts come into our churches, we need to get ready to teach them about the things of God more than ever before. So get ready. I believe these group leaders are going to have to even study more That means the teacher's going to have to study more. The preacher's going to have to study more. We're going to have to get ready to teach these people what it means to be a strong Christian. I believe he said we need to strengthen the brethren. And I believe he said something about that. How do Christians grow? They get into the Word of God. And listen, if you're not in a Bible study group, if you're not in a Sunday school group, if you're not studying the Word of God, I have it on my phone. I have the Bible on my phone. Sometimes I'll take it out, especially when it's quiet, and I'll read it and listen to it and think about it. I can listen to it. I can't pronounce those big words, but you know, these people can't either, I don't think, because I've found one thing. Everybody pronounces them different. So, like Brother Bill said, just call them whatever you want to and go on. And then, Brother, give me one of those little pocket Bibles the other day. I appreciate that. You can listen to that. We've got all kinds of things nowadays to listen to the Word of God. You don't have to have your Bible so handy. It's right here in your pocket, or in my case, over on the bench. But you can have the Word of God, and you need to read that. And I believe he probably said, I won some souls to Christ in verse 27. How God's people opened the door of faith, it says, unto the Gentiles. That's a word about soul winning, folks. We must be soul winners. When we go out, we need to feed the hungry. As a church, we're to clothe the poor. But I believe we fail to share Jesus Christ. People are always willing to work. People are always willing to do for the church. But it comes to going soul winning, you have very little participation there. You can feed the hungry man. But if you fail to share Jesus Christ with that hungry man, he's just going to die and go to hell on a full stomach. Folks, we need to share Jesus Christ with them. You see? Paul says, I won some souls to Christ. Timothy, he won to the Lord. Why are we so reluctant to tell people about Jesus? Why do we hesitate? And I'll tell you what, I do the same thing. I went up and bought me a cooker, one of these things you put wood in, and then when you get it full of wood and the coals, you can turn your grill over. I always like that. I want to put it down the farm and cook me some steaks on that thing and enjoy life a little bit on that thing. I went up there to this man that made it, and boy, he cussed like a sailor. Brother Bill was there with me. Wasn't you there with me? Yeah. That man, he didn't know God at all. Didn't seem to. Well, I told him I'd be back Friday to pick it up. And you know what? Between Wednesday or Thursday, whenever we went, and Friday, God began to convict me. If you don't like to hear him cuss, you tell him about Jesus. Man, you know what? I come up with five real quick excuses why I wasn't going to tell that man about Jesus. I did. I said, Lord, that guy, he don't want to hear about Jesus. Man, that guy cusses like a sailor. I'll probably never see him again. But God kept saying, talk to him about Jesus. And I know how hard it is. I know how reluctant we are. You know, we build buildings. We put these buildings up, and it's important. They're tools to win people for Christ. But if we can't tell people on the outside in our daily walk with Jesus Christ about him and how much he means to us and how he's changed our life, then we really haven't done nothing. We really haven't accomplished much, you see. Now, in here, I ask you to give up a testimony. You're going to get up and tell me how much Jesus Christ means to you. Amen? Well, that lost person out there needs to hear that. So the next time you run into a lost person, you tell them how much Jesus means to you. That's a challenge. I got there, drove in. He wasn't there. I thought, man, I won't have to tell him about the Lord. You know, we look for all kinds of reasons. Truck drove up about that time. I said, I'm going to have to tell him. God is not going to let me leave this place without telling something about Jesus. And I said, okay, Lord, you open the door and I'll tell him about Jesus. I got my thing, put it on my truck. He helped me load it. He said, come back and see me sometime. I said, I will if you'll come see me sometime. He said, well, I don't know where you live. And I said, I'm the pastor of First Baptist Church in Gun Barrel City, and I would love to have you come hear about Jesus. I don't have any use for a church. I don't have any use for Jesus. And I said, yes, you do. More than you'll ever know. And at your age, you're going to meet him one day, and my prayer is that you'll meet him prepared. I said, I'd love to tell you more about Jesus. I don't have any time to hear about Jesus. I said, I wish you would, and I wish you'd come to hear about it. And that was all I got to say to him without rubbing him the wrong way. But let me tell you, I went away from there, and God said, that's enough. He said, you done what I asked you to do. The rest is up to God, isn't it? I just hope and pray that one day that old big man walks in the back door and hears about Jesus Christ and what really life is all about. Because if you live your whole life and you miss Jesus Christ, you missed it all, haven't you? We can be the largest church in town, or we can be the smallest church in town. We can be the friendliest church in town, or not so friendliest church in town. But when it's all over, when it's all over, if we haven't opened the door for lost people to come in and learn about Jesus, we've missed it, folks. We've missed it all. I think Paul told people wherever he went about Jesus Christ. I believe he suffered the scars for it, and we will too. But in the end of his life, he said, I have finished my course. I've fought the fight. I've kept the faith. Now, it's God's turn. And God will do what he promises us he'll do. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your blessings in life. Lord, I thank you for the opportunity that we have every day to share Jesus Christ with someone. Lord, I know many times we fail to do that. But God, give us that courage. Give us that boldness. Just to mention the name of Jesus we talked about tonight, that at the very name of Jesus, every tongue shall bow, every knee shall bow, and every tongue will confess that he is Lord. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen.